Lord, we're so grateful for your presence in this place and your presence in each of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for all the things that you do for us every day. We thank you that you care about the things that we care about and that you want us to grow and to learn and that you want us to be healed from the things that that have hurt us and healed from physical aches and pain. So we thank you this morning. We thank you for your word, and we pray, Lord, that your spirit would guide us in listening and speaking so that we might share a good time together, but also a time, Lord, of challenge, a time of blessing. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So just want to mention again that I made up these little booklets. I don't know if you didn't get one. There's some more on the table back there. It's just an outline of the sermons for the next few weeks until Easter Sunday. This is a place where you can color in, you can doodle if that helps you listen on a Sunday morning. You can write down notes. You can keep it so that you can share the next Sunday. Again, I just want to acknowledge that some of us are extroverts. It's easy for us to get up and respond and say something after the sermon, but some of us need a little more time to think about it, and maybe the next week you're ready to say, you know what, I wrote this down last week. I think I can share this week. So we want to hear from everybody, everybody's thoughts, the way that God works in each person is important, and you are all part of the body of Christ here at Wellspring, and we want to hear from you as well. 2 weeks ago, we talked about fasting. Last week, we talked about confession. This week, we're going to talk about forgiveness. There's just a lot of challenging things that we need to think about during this season of Lent, and so I'm going to just keep pushing us all through this. This is the sermons. When I speak a sermon, it's for me as much as anyone else. And I'm just trying to share some of the things that God has brought to my heart. Anybody want to share at this point anything that you wrote down about last week, about fasting, or does anybody want to share an experience that you've had with confession this week that you are interested in sharing with the congregation? At this point, I'll give you a couple opportunities today. Kim. So me and Paul don't have
You know, so it's hard, and I'm really just struggling with it this week.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that confession and a desire for forgiveness, right? A desire to learn to be able to. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? So for me, this is a really busy season of life, and I don't know if you know, but I work for an after-school program in parent engagement. I work for Franconia Conference, and I have four churches that I work with, and I also work with intercultural work with all the churches in the conference. And now the Lord added this wonderful position here at Wellspring, and I have not ever yet regretted saying yes to coming here. I think this is a special place that I needed as much as we all need it. But I just know that my life is busier than I would like it to be. So that's my structured work, right? And I also am a wife, and I'm also a mother, and I'm also a friend. And you know that those things, wives and mothers, know that that takes up a lot of time too. Being a friend takes up time. And so I feel like right now I need God's direction and presence even more than ever. I'm taking the opportunity this year as part of my testimony around these topics, fasting and confession, to fast on Wednesdays, and I'm trying not to eat added sugar, putting added sugar, like example, in my coffee, and eating sweets. For me, that's big. So first Wednesday that I fasted, it was great. I woke up and I had kind of an open day, and I just, you know, read my Bible and I prayed, and I was particularly concerned in a difficult situation in one of the churches. So I prayed about that, and then at lunchtime, after lunch, I had to go to a meeting with my supervisor, and everything was just, I was fasting, but it was, but it was good. I wasn't struggling too hard. And then that afternoon, after talking to my supervisor, he gave this solution that solved the problem temporarily solved the problem to this difficult situation. So I said, well, praise God, I was fasting for this, and now this has been resolved. The next Wednesday, I got up, I ate breakfast, and I headed to Harrisburg for a conference. Halfway there, I realized I was supposed to be fasting. Oops. My supervisor called me and said, hey, you know, the conference is going to cover your lunch for today. I already ate breakfast, like maybe I could just call off this day of fasting because, you know, I mean, I could get a free lunch and I can, you know, spend a little bit more on lunch maybe than I wanted to. And like, well, I already blew the day anyway, so does that really count if I already ate breakfast? And back and forth, and I'm driving and I'm pulling into a rest area, and I think, no. Okay, I did not realize this morning when I ate breakfast, I forgot. But now I know, so I'm going to choose not to buy food here. I'm just going to fast the rest of the day till normally I break my fast at supper time. And It was good because I made that choice. I was able to then listen to music and calm myself and kind of re-enter the whole purpose that I was fasting anyways. But I just say this to say that if you decided to fast from something these weeks, and some days it's going better than others, don't give up. Don't give up. I hate drinking my coffee black. It tastes so nasty without the sugar and the cream. But it reminds me that I'm hungering and thirsting for Jesus, for Christ. And if you didn't decide to do anything, and you decide today that you want to do something, then that is good too. God is much more gracious than we are on ourselves. I need, because of the busyness right now in my life, I need to seek God differently. I need to seek God in a different way. So I am choosing to actively seek and confess Jesus is Lord of my life. Anybody else want to share a testimony? If not, we're going into forgiveness. And that one's not easy either. Kim's shaking her head back there. All right. One more quick announcement before I get started on the forgiveness. There's a box in the back that says, believe on it. That box is for any private, personal prayer requests, confessions that you would like to write on there and put it inside. That box is an idea that Kim and I worked on. We know that sometimes there are things that you want to get out of your system, but you don't necessarily feel like sharing them with other people. If you have that kind of prayer request, if you have that kind of confession, the simple act of writing it down helps to get it out of your system. You know what I mean, right? When something's in your system like that and it keeps rolling around in your head and rolling around your head and driving you crazy, and you keep trying to fight it off, sometimes just writing it down and putting it somewhere helps. So those requests, if you want to fill out a paper and put it in there, that is personal. We're not going to open it. It has a lock on it. I'm not sure Kim even has the key to it. So those things will not be read, but that is an invitation for you to continue the process of confessing before the Lord and placing your requests in God's hands so that you can have the peace that passes all understanding. Last week we talked about if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we talked about if we confess, God will always forgive. All the time, every time, God will forgive us. So today let's talk about forgiveness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. It is in your little booklet if you want to just turn there. If you want to turn to your Bible, that's also fine. Matthew 6, verse 12 says, and this is part of the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts, some versions it says sins or trespasses, as we also have forgiven our debtors or those who sin against us. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. God has forgiven us. God has forgiven you again and again. And God will continue to do so. Psalm 32:1 says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. If you understand that God has forgiven you, If you understand that God will forgive you again and again, there is a blessing in that. There is a peace in that. There's a hope in that. There's a foundation in that. Because you understand yourself as a forgiven person. Jesus gave his life so that we could all be forgiven once and for all times. Matthew 26, verse 27 says that he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." So that's the good news. That's the gospel message. When we speak life, we speak the forgiveness of sins, because we can truly live free in Christ. We're not burdened down. We're not chained to sin and to unforgiveness. And there's always this additional piece, right? God has forgiven us. Therefore, God has forgiven us. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We also forgive those who sin against us. So take that truth that God has forgiven you. Let it set you free. Let it place you on a firm foundation. But you cannot stop there. You have to turn around and forgive others. That's what you're afraid of, right? Kim? All of us? Matthew 6 says, if you forgive our debts, as we also forgiven our debtors. We forgive other people when they sin against you. Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Feels like that kind of contradicts, right, what we just said about all our sins are forgiven all the time. That's how God works. Our sins are forgiven all the time. But if we don't forgive other people, then in that quick, we're caught up again in sin. And then we got to ask for forgiveness again. And then boom, we're back, right? It's like it feels like almost one of those never-ending cycles. So how do we learn to forgive? What can we do to help ourselves out? Because God has, I don't know, it's one of those things that our minds, like sometimes you come to one of God's truths and your mind just can't follow the twists and turns, right? Don't doubt that God has forgiven you. Don't doubt that God's Son has paid the price for your sins. But understand that in God's economy, He expects us not just to stop there. He expects us to forgive. He expects us to continue because He understands that part of that freedom in Christ is tied to us learning to forgive others. It's a challenge, and I don't know exactly how it works. It doesn't feel like 1 plus 1 equals 2. It feels like some sort of algebraic formula that my brain could never understand. It feels like that, right? So let's understand that we're forgiven, and then let's work as hard as we can to forgive others, because we know that's what God expected us. One way that we learn to forgive, and I'm going to say this might seem like a strange place to start. But we start learning to forgive others by not even getting to the place where we're offended in the first place. if we can develop a preventative forgiveness by having an unoffendable spirit. So in other words, if you choose to let something go right on the spot, then there's no need to forgive anything later. There's a children's story by Max Lucado about the Wemmicks, the small wooden people who are created by a woodworker named Eli. Each Wemmick is different, but they're all made by the same carver, and they all live in the same village. All day long, the Wemmicks gave each other stickers. The pretty ones, those with smooth wood, fine paint, those who are talented, those who knew big words, those who could sing pretty songs, they always got the golden stars. But to those whose wood were chipped, where they weren't talented or they make mistakes, they got gray dots. So if you did wonderful things, you got stars. If you weren't so great, you got gray dots. Punchinello is a Wemmick who was always covered in gray dots. He tried to jump high, but then he would fall. He got a gray dot. When he fell, his paint would get scratched, another dot. And then he would try to explain why he fell, and the words wouldn't come out right, another dot. He had so many dots on him that he didn't want to go outside because he didn't have any friends. And some people would give him a gray dot just for having a lot of gray dots. One day, he met a Wemmick who didn't have any stars or any dots. It wasn't that people didn't try to give her the stickers. They just fell off. They didn't stick. That's the way that I want to be, thought Punchinello. I don't want anyone's marks. So he asked the stickerless Wemmick how she did it. "It's easy," Lucia replied. "Every day I go see Eli, the woodcarver." And when Punchinello went to see Eli himself, the creator, Eli told Punchinello what the other Wemmick had said about him didn't matter. All that matters was what Eli thought. Eli, the creator, in other words, God, and God thought that Punchinello was special. He was special because he belonged to Eli. Eli told Punchinello that the stickers would only stick if they mattered to him. And the more that Punchinello trusted Eli's love, the less he would care about what the other Wemmicks thought. So in other words, if someone says something to you and tries to give you a gray dot and tries to dishonor you or offend you, you don't have to accept it. You can trust in what God says about you, and the dots will fall off of you. And so the first time that I heard about this, being an unoffended, having an unoffendable spirit, I started thinking about it. So what if, when people said offensive things about me, what if I could stand on the rock, that is God's love, and I could let those things just slide off me without feeling offended? What if I trusted God so much that when people said offensive things to me, I would consider their words carefully through God's eyes. I would take the truth and receive it, but I would let the other stuff go away. The problem with receiving words from others that hurt us, that are offensive to us, is that it can result in bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. And the occasions for taking offense are practically endless. You can stand in a grocery store and have two people talk and laugh next to you and think that they're talking about you, whether or not they are. And you can get offended. You can carry that with you the rest of the day. Or somebody can say something to you and they didn't really mean it, but you take it and you just pull it in and you get offended by it. You choose to be offended by it. Being offended hurts me. It hurts my relationships. In a church community, it hurts our unity and it breaks down love. It destroys our peace And it gives the enemy a chance to get in and split us up. Being offended keeps the focus on me. I'm offended. This is about me and how I feel. And sometimes it keeps us from focusing on God. Being offended closes my ears and eyes to what God is doing in other people. So, even before you need to forgive, you can do preventative forgiveness by simply choosing not to be offended by some of the things that happened to you. Okay? Being offended very quickly goes into unforgiveness. And so when we are offended and truly are offended and we can't push it to the side, then we need to learn to be quick to settle the differences. Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother or sister sins against you or offends you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. Okay, so this is number two. The first one is just choose not to be offended. It's not easy, but try. If you are offended and you truly are offended and you cannot let it go, then the first thing that you need to do is to go to talk to 20 people about it. No, don't do that. First thing that you need to do is go and talk to the person who has offended you. Don't go talk to all those other people. That is not right. 99.9% of the time that I have gone to my brother and sister in Christ and told them that something they did offended me, they apologized immediately. Whether they understood my offense or not, they apologized. I'm sorry that you felt that way. I apologize that my thoughtless words caused you injury. What happens when you don't do that? One time, a pastor on my team, because at North Central Life we worked on a pastor of a team with three pastors, one of the pastors came to me and said, I need to sit with you with another member of our congregation because he's upset with you about something. Okay, first of all, bing, 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 red flags, right? Because he didn't come talk to me first. So I get in there in the meeting, and we're sitting there, and he starts telling the brother starts telling the story about how one time I was walking down the stairs, and I said hello to the person in front of him, and I said hello to the person behind him, but I purposely did not say hello to him a year ago. And so by that time, I was upset myself, because really, you have to understand that part of Latino Hispanic culture is very important that you greet everybody. So if I don't greet you, then that's a big deal. That's almost like a slap in the face. It's almost like, you know, turning your back to somebody. So I pushed down my own kind of annoyance first, and I said, I'm very sorry. I have no idea that happened. It would never be my intention not to greet you. I don't have any issues with you, and I apologize. And of course, what choice does he have, right? He accepts my apology because that's what happens. And then I said to him, I now am offended because you waited a year to come and tell me. And not only did you not wait a year, but you told Pastor Angel, and you told, you know, obviously your wife was sitting here, you told her, but you didn't tell me. I said, Matthew 18 says you're supposed to come and talk to me first. So then he had to apologize to me, and I had to forgive him. But then it was finally resolved. So that ridiculous story is only a reminder to say, because sometimes there are much bigger issues than that, right? I mean, it's not, that was easy. But if you are quick to settle your differences, if you are quick to speak to those things that offend you, and here it puts the responsibility on the person who was offended. Okay, so many times we're like, well, she knows that I was offended, so she should come to me. That's not what it says here. It says that we have to go to the person. Okay, so if we decide, you know what you said to me earlier today really offended me, it hurt me. The other person says 99.9.999% of the time in the church, the person will say, I'm sorry, right? Not out in the world, but in the church, right? Because this is a brother or sister. 99.9% of the time, it'll be resolved right there. Okay? No need for a struggle for forgiveness. No need for all that drama. Now, if we read further down Matthew 18, here's the other side of it. The other side, Matthew 18, and I'm going to read a few verses here, is the other side of the challenge to confront and make our hurts known. It's the challenge of the parable of the unmerciful servant. Peter came up to Jesus and asked, okay, this is right after, okay, this is the same chapter as what we just read about if your brother or sister sins, that you're supposed to go to them. Okay, then Peter came up to Jesus and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? He's like, wow, that's a lot. Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. 70 times 70. Somewhere it says, right? Here it says 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged. I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay me back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. The master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In his anger, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back what he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Bam! Okay, so we'll go back to the beginning again. God has forgiven us for everything. He continues to forgive us. Every day, when we ask for his forgiveness, he forgives us. It is a huge debt that we owed the Lord. We owed our very lives, and he forgave us. He forgave us, and he gave us eternal life. So who are we? Who are we to hold unforgiveness over someone else? If we do that, it binds us up again. Not only is it arrogant, but it hurts us. Unforgiveness hurts us. God forgave us. So in faith, we choose to stand on that forgiveness, and we forgive ourselves. I didn't mention that today. I didn't think I'd have time to mention that today, but some of us can't forgive ourselves for the things that we've done. But if God has forgiven you, then how can you not forgive yourself? That's another sermon. It's another topic, right? I mean, another deep well that we can look into some other time. In faith, we choose not to be offended when we can. We choose preventative forgiveness. In faith, we choose to reconcile with our offenders quickly. We choose not to let that unforgiveness to seep into our lives. In faith, we forgive others. Not just 7 times, but all the times that God requires of us. In obedience, we recognize that freedom in Christ is connected to our choice to forgive. We can speak life and forgiveness to ourselves and to others when we understand the depths of God's forgiveness through Jesus. In Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he has lavished upon us. So what say you? What do you think about what God says about forgiveness?